Start your day the right way with The Big Show on 3BA.
All righty, let's shoot the breeze with Alex Chalios from thebigsmoke.com.au. Good morning to you, Alex.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. How's second week of lockdown going for you?
It's okay.
Well, it won't be for the mums and dads who have had to endure the kids on school holidays.
True.
And no travelling anywhere. That's got to be hard.
That is hard. I mean, I'm fortunate that it's quite a quiet place where I'm at. Not everyone has that.
Right. Well, that's okay then for you. Not so much for others. Let's get into our chat topics of the morning. And firstly, we're going to talk about a great love of yours and mine, Alex. Cats, is that right?
Well, I mean, look, I'm not a cat person, but I'm definitely a lover of animals and companion animals. So this comes from a study from the University of York in Lincoln in the UK. And what they've done is they've studied the changes in cats and dogs over the period of lockdown. So in 2020 and also now, they've been watching how animals respond to their owners, particularly around providing stress relief and, you know, reducing loneliness and all of that. And no matter what species the animal was, that impact been had on the people, on the owners. But one of the things they have found is that cats have an unfair reputation, I guess, as being a bit rude and aloof.
No, I wouldn't have thought.
And a lot of people who love their cats actually often argue and say, no, actually, my cat is very affectionate. And the study has actually found that that's true. So some participants have found that cats who were once very skittish due to COVID and lockdown and being with their owners all the time and being given affection and a bit of pampering have actually become calmer and more affectionate generally.
Right. Well, the only time our cat's ever affectionate at home, Alex Chalios, is when it wants something.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's the thing. A lot of people say that their cats come in just for food and then they leave for the day.
And when they want somewhere comfy to sleep, like your lap or in between your legs. But anyway,
yeah,
there you go. Let's see how once COVID is over, we're going to be waiting a while, I would think, but we'll see if the cats become more affectionate. Here's something I could do with, and please tell me where I sign up to get one. The US military are going to test an anti-aging pill, and this is going to happen next year.
Yes. So they're testing this experimental pill, and it can actually stop the effects of aging on soldiers. So the idea behind it is that it improves performance characteristics that typically decline with age. The idea behind it is that they're able to use a dietary supplement that boosts levels of the molecule NAD+, which is the compound found in nootropics, in the nootropics industry, which is what a lot of people use, for example, boosted coffee. So you would see a lot of these ads online. And that's been linked to aging and the way the body deteriorates over time. And, of course, there have been concerns that, you know, these are, like, too good to be true stories, but they're testing it in a way to see if it's successful. They can, you know, not just help the soldiers avoid aging rapidly, but also prevent onset of injury. So there's a few different reasons why they're wanting to use it. So age-related is one, but also improving physical and mental fitness is another.
This has got to be fraught with danger. I mean, the world's an overpopulated place as it is, and it's one of the biggest killers of our planet, overpopulation, Alex, in my mind anyway. And yet stuff like anti-aging pills and, you know, putting people into deep freeze so they can wake them up in years to come. It's fraught with danger for me.
Augmented human ability is something that people have invested a lot into, and Silicon Valley is particularly interested. There's a lot of ethical discussions around that, but it is something that's being invested quite heavily into by these companies.
Speaking of ageing, I wonder, Alex, if any of our listeners down here in Ballarat have ever gone to sleep at night and woken up the next day and found their hair has turned white. It's actually a thing, and it's called Marie Antoinette syndrome.
Yes. This is interesting because a lot of people talk about, oh, my gosh, I went grey overnight. But actually, that's very, very unlikely to happen because there's no living cells in the hair. So there's arguments to be made that psychosocial stress, for example, can't actually impact hair fibre that's already formed, but it can affect fibres that are forming. So while they're saying that there's no mechanism by which hair could just turn white or grey overnight, there is an argument and there's anecdotal evidence of certain triggers and explanations happening where people see an autoimmune response which causes their hair, especially if it's been pigmented hair, to fall out or change appearance, which is why it looks grey overnight for a lot of people. And this is something that happened to Mary, Queen of Scots, before her beheading.
In other words, Marie Antoinette.
Yes.
You confused me there for a moment. That's why
there
was
a... You're like, who's Mary Queen of Scots? Wait, is yeah. this Marie Antoinette?
Yeah.
And did you know, fun fact, I dressed up as Marie Antoinette when I was in year five for French Day at school, and everybody else had a baguette. So.
You dressed up as Marie Antoinette or Marie Antoinette. I don't know how you pronounce it correctly.
I literally hired an outfit that was the most over-the-top dress, and I had a fan.
Right, and everyone went as a baguette.
Everyone just had a beret or a baguette. They were all normal.
Oh, well, you would have had a happy lunch then, wouldn't you?
I was like, everyone, they just so uninspiring with their outfits.
Alex,
you're seven, Alex.
Alex Chelios, you have a wonderful week. We'll shoot the breeze next Tuesday.
Thank you.